90 tape converted to 60. Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project, jointly sponsored by the UCLA Asian American Studies Center and the Chinese Historical Society of Southern California. This is an interview of Elaine Chao, interview number 6, tape 2.
Getting back to the subject of prominent people or prominent families, you said that there was one Chinese that was well known?
Well, I don't know what you call prominent family. I don't know. I don't consider anybody prominent as far as prominent is concerned. I just feel that everybody is equal.
Mm-hmm.
And I never look at anybody.
What about that one person you mentioned?
Well, I mean, she did a lot of work. She did like court interpreter, and she does a lot of activities.
Yeah. Oh, are you talking about Lily?
The Lily Chan.
Yeah, yeah.
Lily
Chan. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yes. I have heard of her. Mm-hmm. And nobody else you could think of, huh?
No.
Mm-hmm. And she was prominent before World War II? I mean,
she wasn't that. I mean, she's active doing that kind of work. Mm-hmm.
Do you know what kind of jobs the Chinese had before World War II, generally speaking? I mean, paid jobs, not the ones that owned their own businesses.
I think there are more now. You know, yeah, my son-in-law is a judge.
And now, before World War II, what sort of jobs did they have? Now, were they working in produce markets? Were they being household help or what?
I think at that time, most of them are in the produce business, aren't they? I don't know.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
Most of your friends, I presume, were also in business. They're Chinese friends.
Oh, they're all business. They're all in business.
What kind of business?
Most of them in groceries or own property, you know.
I don't mean that. I mean that back then. Before World War II, mm-hmm. They owned grocery stores. And
they owned grocery stores.
And they were real estate brokers?
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean, like they owned land? They just kept buying up property or
mm-hmm.
and reselling it?
Yeah, I think so.
Even before World War II?
Hmm?
Even before World War II?
I think so.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
What
I'm so busy in my business, I don't go ahead and... But in other people's affairs, you know, find out what it's all about, and I don't pay that much attention. I'm really too busy in my own business.
How many days a week did you work?
Oh, I have to work 5 days.
Mm-hmm. Was it from like regular office hours from 9 to 5?
Yeah.
And you did the bookkeeping?
No, I have hired my own bookkeeper.
Oh, what did you do?
I managed, see that everything is all right. Okay. I got a lot of people working for me, you know.
Was that before your husband passed away? Or?
Before my husband passed away, yeah.
Okay. What did he do? In other words, what did he do and what did you do?
My husband, he's more or less just like supervisor, just manage the business.
And you also help him manage?
Yeah, help him manage.
I see. Mm-hmm. And when you were having your children, when they were growing up, did you take care of them at home or did you hire somebody to come and take care of them?
Well, I hired a housekeeper. I sent my daughter to a private school. She came back and told me that she had such a, she didn't like it. And she said, well, children pinch her or do something. so I took her out of it.
When was that?
When she was little.
Mm-hmm. I mean, 19?
When I was in town, 1933, 1934.
Yeah, well, yes, I see. Okay. And that was elementary school she was going to?
Kindergarten. I started going to kindergarten, put her in private school. Then I'm too busy in the business.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Then what did you, where did you put her after she withdrew?
Oh, later I put her in public school, got her home, hire a housekeeper.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How many children do you have?
Just the two.
Ah, my daughter.
A son and a daughter. Mm-hmm.
Did she tell you why the kids?
I don't know. You know how children are. When they're little, they tell you this thing. You just kind of believe them. You know. You love your children so much.
She didn't say that they were calling her name?
No. They never told me anything. The only one incident in my life that kid called me name.
And but your daughter was, you don't know what?
No, her. She never did. No, she didn't get along really nice.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. When did your children graduate from?
From the university. Graduated from USC, both of them.
Okay. Then, which school did they go to back in the 30s? Which school, which public school did they send them to?
Well, back in the 30s. I think at that time, I think they were attending USC.
No, 30s, in elementary school.
Oh, elementary, just elementary school, right near where we live.
Here?
Yeah.
Oh, let's see. When did you move
here? No, not here. When we first came to town, we lived way out in West 76th Street.
Uh-huh. Was that a white?
Yeah, a white area.
Used to be, yeah, right.
It's all white area. Went to all white school.
Uh-huh.
Washington. You know, went to that, and she made a lot of friends with them and the American people. Now they even have family, they have school reunion.
Oh.
The same girls, you know, have school reunion.
When did you move to this house here? And did you
1945.
1945. Now, did you live anywhere between your West 76th Street and...
I live on 22nd Street when I first moved in town.
I thought you said West 76th Street.
Yeah, and then we moved to where bought a house in West 76th Street.
Oh, you bought a house on West 76th
Street. Yeah, West 76th Street.
And that was in 1930?
Yeah, long time ago.
Were they willing to sell it to you?
Well, at that time, they were not willing to sell it to us. It was West 76th Street. But we got American friends.
Mm-hmm.
Got us in, you know.
How?
I don't know how. We just got in.
Did you buy the house through brokers or through the owner?
I think we got through the owner, I guess. We got in somehow. Mm-hmm.
I see. You don't remember when you purchased the house? Was it like 2 years after you came here, or 5 years?
About 2 years after.
2 years after you came to Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And before you purchased the house, did you rent an apartment?
No, we rented a house.
On 22nd Street?
22nd Street.
I see. Did you have a problem renting a house?
No, 22nd Street is just the area where Chinese and colored people live, you know, that's the end of it.
How much did it cost you to buy the house on the 76th Street?
At that time, cost us about $9,000.
Okay. And then you sold that house and moved into
this house? Yeah, bought this house.
In 1945?
Yeah.
Did you have the same trouble with owner or people not willing to sell
it? No.
No problem? How did you get along with your neighbors?
I got a lot of good neighbors around here.
Uh-huh. Right from the 40s.
One Chinese lived next door to me.
Oh,
one Chinese.
And that family moved in before you did?
Well, I think we both moved in about the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I probably moved in here maybe about a month or two earlier or something like that.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
What about on the 76th Street? Did you get along with your neighbors?
Wonderful.
Oh,
I still. A lot of them, I still talk to them on the phone.
Mm.
And we meet once in a while.
Then why did you have problems buying the house in Eastern
Neighborhood? Well, at first, they didn't know us.
I see.
Mm-hmm. They didn't know. That's what I heard. I don't know why my husband. That's what I heard. I don't know.
Did you remember how you broke the ice with them?
Got acquainted with them and made friends. That's all.
Did they invite you over to their house?
Yes. All of them, even up to today, were friends.
And you reciprocated?
Oh, yes.
I see.
Mm-hmm. They invited me.
And same with over here?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Over here, the house is so big. I don't have that many friends. I only have a couple back there
of
American, and people next door to me. Many changed hands many times. I know all of them.
I
became very good friends with all of them.
Uh-huh. In 1945, did you have any problems, especially because at that time, I think, World War II, the Japanese people were not being treated well at all here in California.
Yeah.
Were you ever, say, mistaken for Japanese?
A few times at a department store, some lady wouldn't wait on me.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, I was very hurt,
What did you say?
Just didn't say anything. Walk away,
Mm-hmm. You mean you would ask to see a merchandise and they won't show it to you, or what?
No, they didn't come up and ask me what I want.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. And you knew that wasn't because they were too busy?
No. It's because they mistook me for Japanese.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
And there were no instances where anyone knew that you were Chinese and therefore treated you badly?
No.
Over the last 40 years?
No.
Could you tell me what the average income was before the war? Before the war, in other words, how much did you pay your employees?
Oh, my employees at that time,
30s, 40s.
Not very much, I don't think. I think we only paid them about $60 a week, I think. Oh, you mean the housekeeper?
How much did the housekeeper get?
$30 a month.
Uh-huh. What about your beer workers, the people?
Oh, at that time we were only paying about $75 a week for the men. That's considered high pay. Then later the union gets more and more and more. You get up to $250, $275 a week.
What do they do?
Oh, they just deliver it, that's all.
Oh, delivery people.
Yeah.
I see. I guess I should make a clear. The average income of Chinese, were you aware how much the Chinese workers made? Or did you hire Chinese workers?
No, we have Chinese workers working in the group. They get the same as Americans because they belong to the union.
And they got like $75.
Yeah, $75.
Back in the mid-40s?
Oh, yeah, at that time, I think they got about 75 or 80 a week.
Mm-hmm. When you first came to California, it was still the Depression, right?
Yeah.
And how did you manage to start a business?
My husband sold the business, and he has, I don't know, he seemed to have a lot of money.
And during the Depression, were you affected in any way?
Yeah, we lost a lot of money.
Where?
The egg business.
Okay.
We put them in stores. Cost us 35 cents a dozen. They're 30 dozen to a case.
Uh-huh.
And they came out of storage, 13 cents a dozen.
Oh.
And, at that time, we owed a lot of money. We owed the bank. We owed the storage house. I just cried. Listen, Mrs. Chow, you're still young. Don't worry. You'll make that money back. I'm not asking you for any of the money. Go ahead, owe it until you make the money back. You pay it. You know, we owe a lot of money. You know,
who said this?
The storage house and the banker. because we borrow a lot of money from the bank, borrow a lot of money from the storage house, you know, at that time. Store the eggs, 35 cents a dozen, went in, 30 dozen to a case,
mm-hmm.
come out 13 cents a dozen. So that year we were going to make a trip to the Orleans. I didn't, we didn't make, my husband didn't ever make that trip.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And when you came to Los Angeles, then you didn't have too much money there.
No, we lost it when we were in Los Angeles.
Oh, you lost this while, this is while in Los Angeles you lost yeah. money on the egg business.
Mm-hmm.
I see. So how did you get enough capital for the beer business?
Borrow, went to the bank and borrow.
When did you start the beer business?
1932. That was when beer came back. Right away my husband got in it.
What do you mean when beer came back?
Well, it was in prohibition all that time.
Oh, yes. I forgot about the prohibition. Could you tell me about that? When was the prohibition?
I just remember it's about that time. The minute beer came back, my husband got around.
Oh.
And get around and got acquainted with people and said, let me be the beer distributor for the Chinese.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. We got a big warehouse. We got a lot of trucks.
He said, the warehouse was originally for the eggs.
Yeah, we did.
How much money did he make per year at that time, and was it considered a great deal? You know, back in the late 30s, say.
You lost?
Well, no. I presume you made money in the beer business.
Yeah, we made good money in the beer business.
Yeah. Was that what was your net income per year at that time,
I remember.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. But was it considered a great deal?
Yeah.
I see. Even by today's standards?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And did your husband ever think of, say, expanding, getting into something else?
What he wanted to do is buy. I stopped him.
Buy what?
He wants to buy more property in Arizona. He was going to go in with some friends buying 500 acres together. He could have bought at $500 an acre, go in business with one man. He was going to buy half. And I said, what do you mean? I want to go to Arizona for? I wouldn't go. See, my husband got the emphysema, so he had to go to Arizona.
Oh.
And I wouldn't do it. I said, no. Oh, he got far, wonderful farsight, much better than I am. And I couldn't do it. I said, no. And you know, later on that man got real mad at me. He said, you know, those same acreage you're selling for $5,000 an acre. He said,
when
that
was
time.
That? What was the time difference?
The time difference, only a few years.
That was back in the 40s?
Yeah, but way back in the 40s.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so your husband pretty much listened to what you said.
Yes, he does. Well, I think he made a mistake. If he hadn't, he would be a very wealthy man today.
Uh-huh.
If he was alive.
He
was going to buy those properties on Wilshire Boulevard. I said, what are you going to buy that old stuff for? Well, that's worth a lot of money. When he first came into town, it's nothing but out in the desert.
How much was that Wilshire property going
I don't know, but it's very cheap at that time. But today, they go double.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Triple.
Do you remember how much food cost, for instance, bread and those things in the 40s? Bread, vegetables, foods.
Not like today. At that time, you can buy eggs for 25 cents a dozen.
Uh-huh. I see. And and a person in your business made around $300, a little bit under $300 a month then, right? In the 40s?
No.
You said $75 a week.
I'm talking about the workers.
Yeah, the workers, that's what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Comparing the your workers' wages to the standard of living then.
Mm-hmm.
Were the workers able to live quite well?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know what your Chinese employees did with their money? Paychecks.
A lot of them go ahead. They invested in something else. A lot of them got rich now.
Mm-hmm.
They buy a liquor store. You know.
You mean on a salary of $300 a month, they could someday save up to buy a liquor store?
Yeah, but then it gets more. It isn't for that long, $300 a month, only a little while. You know, the union's pay keep on going up, up, up.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
Do they gamble? You know?
Well, I think most of them gamble, don't they? I don't know.
I see. Did they tell you that about, say, sending money back to China?
A lot of them do. My husband does that too.
Really?
My husband sent for two boys. Expect him to work the way, earn, pay us back through working. Both of them left us.
I don't understand. Your husband sent for two boys from China to come here.
Yeah.
And he paid for their expenses.
Yeah.
They were not related to him.
No.
How could he hire people here?
I don't know, that's a Chinese way, you know. I guess they're maybe a little bit related, you know. Tong Chun, you know.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
They came over but did not work for you.
They're supposed to earn the way, come over. You know, that's how a lot of the Chinese are sending for the people from China to work the way through, you know.
You said your husband sent money to China, to whom?
Yeah, to his father.
Oh, for how long did he do that?
Oh, he did that until he passed away.
You mean his father lived as long as he did?
Yes, he lived. Oh, yes, he lived. He is a Taishou Xinsang, you know, it's a Taishou.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
In Hong Kong.
Oh, in Hong Kong,
I see. In Hong Kong, Taishou Xinsang.
Oh, how about his mother?
Well, his mother passed away years before he, I think.
So your husband's parents were really from Hong Kong?
Yeah, really from Hong Kong.
Oh, I see. So your husband came from Hong Kong?
Yeah.
I see. Mm-hmm. Did you know why he came over?
Came here to go to school, just like all other Chinese, bringing them over.
He was able to come here on his own expenses? I mean,
yeah, well, he had to pay it back eventually.
He borrowed?
Borrowed.
And he went to college here?
Yeah, he went to high school.
Ah, I see.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so did he write to his parents?
Visit
them?
No, he hasn't visited them. I told him, I want him to see his parents. I want him to visit your father, I told him. But he got emphysema so bad, you know. Emphysema.
It's a
cough.
Yes, a
cough.
Mm-hmm.
Bronchitis.
When did he get that?
Oh, he had it for years and years. Oh, no. Ever since I remember when I first married him, he had that cough. And I told him, I said, oh, my mother used to rub our chest with camphorated oil.
Mm-hmm.
So I told him to get me some camphorated oil. So I went and boiled it, camphorated oil. I got a great big piece of cotton. I dabbed it in there. I put it in his chest. I burned his chest and went to get a doctor.
Oh, dear. What went wrong?
I burned his chest.
Well, then you didn't wait for the...
No, I didn't know. You know.
Oh, you didn't
All
know.
I remember, my mother rubbed camphorated oil in our chest when we have cold.
You don't remember exactly how she did it, right?
No. I know she rubbed it. I know she warmed it.
Yeah.
But I didn't know you. But I went and heat the oil.
Oh, you weren't supposed to heat the oil?
No, not that hot.
Oh.
So I dab it in a great big roll of cotton and put it right in his chest. suffering his chest and he had to get a doctor.
So after that, did you keep on using, I mean, did you use it properly or did you just stop using it?
No, until doctor took care of it. I'm no doctor. I remember the first time I married him, I invited his brother over for dinner. I got a whole chicken. I didn't clean the inside. I boiled the whole thing and set it out outside on the table. My husband took it in the kitchen. I said, why do you take my chicken away? He said, your chicken is not clean.
Oh.
I said, what do you mean not clean? He said, you didn't open up the chicken to clean the chicken.
Oh, the inside got
clean. Yeah, all that is in there. I went and boiled. Oh. I invited his brother over to dinner.
I see. You grew up with your sister, right? Did you say?
Yeah.
And she didn't teach you how to cook Chinese?
No, I didn't have to cook. See, my brother-in-law has a place. He has his own cook.
Uh-huh.
And the cook everything, bring it into the Chinese way, bring it in the family.
What did your brother-in-law do?
He hired people. Put them in the ranch, work them all.
Oh, I see.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
And he has a grocery store too.
Mm. Okay. Oh, and so he hired a cook for his family.
Yeah, the cook for those people that he worked with outside.
Did he hire mostly Chinese, by the way?
Yeah, mostly Chinese. All Chinese.
I mean, for the agency job. In other words, for field hands, you know. Did he hire Chinese?
Yeah, all Chinese.
Uh-huh. And his grocery store also.
Yeah, and then he's bringing in a tray of food for the family.
Oh, I see. So you did learn how to cook Chinese?
No,
food.
I just bring it. I know how to bring in a tray of food.
Did you ever learn how to cook Chinese food or any kind of food?
Yeah, I learned it after I got married.
Do you cook mostly Chinese food or American food these days?
I love both Chinese and American food.
Back in the old days, did you when you finished learning how to cook, were they mostly
Chinese and American?
Chinese and American,
both. I like them both.
I see. Mm-hmm. And didn't you think it was too much trouble to have to cut and shred and all those things?
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. In your everyday life, you cook mostly American food then?
No, I wouldn't say that. I love Chinese food. What is it?
Jing ham,
yeah. Sometimes chow choy.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When your husband sent money to China, did you ever question him as to why he was doing it? I mean, to Hong Kong.
I get after him all the time. I said, why do you have to keep on sending money? But he said, keep on sending it.
Did he never explain?
No, he said, but they need help. You know, the Chinese people always, the family come first, you know.
Yeah. He never thought about bringing his parents over here?
No, I don't think he could. I don't know.
Did he ever think about going back to Hong Kong?
He was thinking about it, but at that time, before he passed away, I wanted him to go back with him. I arranged it. I said, if you and I go back. And that was a year we lost about $100,000 on the eggs, cash.
Mm-hmm. I see, so he never did go back.
But I made many trips myself now since, you know, to Hong Kong.
Uh-huh. Yeah, do you still have any of his relatives that you can see?
No, I think he doesn't have any more relatives yet.
Didn't he have any brothers and sisters?
No, his brother passed away.
I see.
And I think his sister passed away too.
You were unhappy about the fact that he sent money over, or?
Sure, because I work too, you know.
Did he send a great deal?
Yes, he said brought the two boys over.
Oh.
That cost a lot of money to talk in. Wait, my visa, you know. They have to pay for the paper.
Wasn't that just a one-shot deal?
I think, but whatever one shot is a lot of money.
I see, but monthly, I mean, his monthly support to his
parents. No, he supports to the niece.
Oh, also?
Sometimes he says he wants a sewing machine, send money for a sewing machine.
Oh,
And I was arranged to bring her over after my husband passed away. She married a barber.
Here?
In Hong Kong.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I said, well, that's out in Kowloon. I said, she married somebody that, you know, you can bring over. You cannot bring a barber over, regardless.
Right.
So that's gone. I was arranging to bring her over.
You promised your husband you would do that?
No, I didn't promise him anything. I thought maybe that was his wish.